It's good to see you all again. Back from your Christmas travels, both short and long. There are some who are still traveling. And I would like to ask you to pause a moment to think about another journey after Christmas. From the second chapter of Matthew. When the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And later, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." In Jesus' name, dear fellow travelers. King Herod was known for his ruthlessness, it is true, but he was also known for his cunning, his courtliness, his ability to impress the right people. He was no dumb bully. He knew better than to announce his wicked intentions to the wise men. He knew that they were seeking Christ in order to worship him. So he pretended that that was his purpose also. He would use every means, even assuming the posture of worship. He'd even join their church in order to pursue his earthly goals, which included killing the Christ child. Yes, Herod had become a tool of the devil, just as surely as the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But why was Satan so intent on destroying this work of God? Simply because the devil hates forgiveness. Hates the forgiveness that Christ would win for us all on the cross. Forgiveness robs Satan, robs him of his kingdom, of his claim on the human race as his followers, his subjects. Forgiveness lays aside the weapon that he would like to hold over us and restores us to the loving arms of our Heavenly Father, leaving the everlasting darkness to the devil and his angels, for whom it was prepared in the first place. The devil hates Christ's forgiveness and wants to nip it in the bud. But God protected his tiny child and our salvation in a marvelous way. Both the wise men and Herod are trying to find Jesus. Both the wise men and Herod have the scriptures to guide them. But the Lord helps the wise men with a star leading to the very spot. And God hinders Herod by warning the wise men not to return to Jerusalem. And then God intervenes again and sends his angel to Joseph in a dream. And he tells Joseph to do something very inconvenient. "Get up, take the child and his mother, and run to Egypt." Isn't that an amazing way for the maker of heaven and earth to protect his beloved one and only son? Just one of God's angels once destroyed 185,000 soldiers at once. He could have stopped 100 Herods and all their men in their tracks. And it was not so long before he did stop Herod forever. But here, instead, he comes to Joseph in a dream. "Hurry," he whispers. "Run away. Run away. Herod will soon be looking for you." When we call upon our dear Father in heaven for help in times of trouble, very often his answer is amazing too, isn't it? He does not always answer with the thunderbolt from heaven that we might like, but often with a quiet word. He often helps us in such a way that the world may misinterpret. As they look on, they will not see the hand of God, but a very normal chain of events. You studied hard, you did all your assignments, you attended all your classes. Of course you learned something. They will not see that it was the Lord's blessing which brought you the benefit of your efforts. And they will not see this child of Bethlehem as being mightier than Herod either, but simply fortunate to sneak away in the dead of night. And they will see the parents that God provides for His Son as very ordinary, not like people of influence, people with a line of credit at the First National Bank of Jerusalem, not even people who can organize an underground railroad to smuggle the child to safety, but people who depend upon gifts from foreigners to finance a trip at the last minute. Strangers who had nothing in common with them except their adoration of the child. Look at the stepfather of our salvation. Just a poor carpenter who would listen to the word of God when it came to him. With God's warning, the wise men were wiser than crafty Herod. With God's word, Joseph was mightier than Herod's army. Joseph did not wait to see the soldiers' dust on the horizon, did he? He arose the same night, packed, and left for Egypt. And so, as the sin of Joseph's brothers had once brought the child of Jacob down to Egypt and his whole family, the children of Israel, with them later, so now the sin of Herod drove the promised child of Israel to Egypt. And as God's hand had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, so the Lord's messenger came again to Joseph after Herod was dead and brought the child with his parents back from Egypt. At every step of the way, this unlikely king was verified as being the promised one, our Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. In Europe, there are still cities that bear the marks of the walls that surrounded them during the Middle Ages. And because of those walls, many a street will curve unexpectedly or come to a dead end. When a traveler asked directions once, he was given a way that sounded complex. But when he asked if that were the best way to go, the reply came back, "It's the only way. If you take the other way, you'll end up right back here." We may perhaps think of other ways that God could have saved Jesus from Herod, other ways that He could have ensured our salvation, other ways that He could have helped us in our troubled times. But in truth, there is no way better than His one way. Joseph knew this, for God had worked this trust in his heart, so that his coming and going, even his place of residence, revolved around the word concerning Christ. And his faith in God's word was not put to shame, nor will our trust in God's word be put to shame. Amen. We sing hymn 127, the last two stanzas, 127, stanzas 5 and 6.